Tell you, the music in this place just gets better and better. Amen? Amen. Every week it just gets great. We are so blessed. All right, if you have a bulletin, take it out. Let's take a look at what's going on. If you are a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for choosing to be with us. And hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate when it comes by, or just leave it on the information table, that would be such a big help to us. And hopefully you received a bulletin as well, and so did the rest of you. So let's take a look at what's going on right after our morning worship service. No Sunday school today because we have church family dinner. Take a deep breath. You'll be able to know that it's church family dinner. So thanks so much for those of you that brought food, and we're going to stay and just have a great time enjoying fellowship around the tables. Wednesday, we have Joy Lunch at Olive Garden at 12 noon. And that's the Olive Garden over by the mall. So just make sure that you're there at 12 noon and come and enjoy lunch with a group of us. Thursday night is Awana. It is Wacky Olympics, and the kids know what that is all about. So that'll be great. Also on the information table, we have new Daily Bread devotional books starting in March for the next quarter. And so stop by the information table on your way out. Pick one of those up to make sure that you have those. So Donna Newcomer, I got notified, passed away. She is the sister of Betty Clark. Betty and her sister Alice and her sister Donna attended here for many years. Betty still attends here, but Donna has passed away. And so our thoughts and our prayers need to be with her family during this time. We know where she is. She was a woman of faith. She believed in Jesus as Savior. And so we're just so grateful for the opportunity to be able to believe in her. I also had a phone conversation with Amy Henning a couple days ago, and she is doing okay. She had another chemo treatment just the other day. Wasn't as bad as the one before because she had a reaction to some of the chemo medication that they were giving her. 2 weeks ago, I believe, she had a CT scan. The CT scan showed no cancer. Amen. God answers our prayers. Amen. He hears them. He answers them. And we are blessed as a result of that. Now, she still has two more chemo treatments to go. She has one in 2 weeks, and then I think she has one 6 weeks after that. So we need to continue to pray for Amy that God just continues to give her strength. But she is doing much, much better. And so we are so grateful for that. Well, are you glad you're here this morning?
Yes.
How many of you this morning said to God, thank you for the sunshine? Thank you for the blue sky and the fluffy white clouds in the sky, because the reason why we have them is because he created them, amen? Or how many of you were in such a hurry to be able to get to church because you were worried that somebody was going to take your seat, or you wanted to check out all of the food that was being brought in for church family dinner, so you missed the sunshine, you missed the blue sky, you missed the white clouds? How many of you were in such a hurry that you didn't take time to give God glory for his creation? If that's you, well, guess what? You have a chance to be able to change your activity this morning. Because this morning we're going to talk about God's glory in creation. But before we do that, let's rise and shine and give God the glory. Amen? For all that he has blessed us with. So let's get up out of our seats. Let's rise up out of our seats, and let's give God glory.
Would you all stand with me this morning? Let's get started with All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
All hail the power of Jesus' Name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown. Seed of Israel's race, he ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace, and crown him Lord. grace and crown him Lord above. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe. Join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord, and crown him Lord, yes, crown him Lord.
Of applause. He's worthy of our praise today. Yes.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender, yes, I surrender. Oh, Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He is mighty to save.
Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you are mighty to save. Thank you that you showed us your great power when you created. Thank you that you showed us your love when you died on the cross. Thank you that you showed us your supremacy when you rose from that grave. You give us hope. You give us life. And we're so thankful for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated as we continue.
Jesus, God's own Son, a precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit to the work on earth is done. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. Great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh, alleluia, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. the morning that sealed the promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Its grip on me, you have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
Archer's going to take this morning's offering, and if you're feeling excited like me, woo, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Just want to say amen, say hallelujah, say praise the Lord. You aren't going to make anyone feel uncomfortable by praising the Lord in this place. So, as ushers prepare to take this morning's offering, I want to remind you we give as an act of worship. Give to worship Him today.
Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your way is the only way for me. It's a narrow road that leads to life, but I want to be on it. It's a narrow road, but the mercy's wide, 'cause you're good in your promise.
I'll take you at your word. If you said it, I'll believe it. I've seen how good it works. If you started, you're completed. I'll take you at your word.
You spoke, and the chaos fell in line. I know, 'cause I've seen it in my life. It's a narrow road that leads to life, but I wanna be on it.
It's a narrow road, and the tide is high, but you parted the water. I'll take you at your word. If you said it, I'll believe it. I've seen how good it works. If you start it, you're completed. I'll take you at your word.
You said your love will never give up. You said your grace is always enough. You said your heart would never forget or forsake me. You said I'm saved. You call me yours. You said my future's full of your hope. You never fail, so I know that you'll never fail me. I'll take you at your word. Said it, I'll believe it. I've seen how good it works. If you start it, you're completed. I'll take you at your word. If you said
at your word. I'll take you at your word. I'll take you at your word.
He said it. Do you believe it? He said it. If we believe it, it's settled. And it was so. Exactly. Wow. Thank you, Jared, for that song. What a great reminder. We could sing that one over and over again. Honey, are you ready? All right. Okay, then I guess Pastor needs to get ready too, huh? All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you ready for Children's Church. D is ready. The rest of us need to get in line. All right, let's pray. Father, you said it. We have your word. We have the Bible to be able to remind us of all of the things that you have said. And Father, we know that because you said it, it's settled. It is so. And so, Father, I pray that as we listen to your word, Father, that we will keep that in mind. Father, I pray that we will listen. Father, I pray that we will obey. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn to Genesis chapter 1, continuing on in our study of Genesis. So in this journey through the 6 days of creation, we can see two triads. God formed creation on days 1, 2, and 3. And he filled, or he finished, creation on days 4, 5, and 6. So when we take the first, second, and third days of creation and line them up with the 4th, 5th, and 6th days, we can see an amazing symmetry. Day 1, light. Day 4, sun, moon, stars. Day 2, sea and sky. Day 5, fish and birds. Day 3, earth. Day 6, creatures of the land. So as we consider how creation gives glory to God, it is so good to be a part of a church that embraces the inerrancy and the authority of God's word. Right at the start, I want you to listen to this declaration found in the Lake Hazel Bible Church Statement of Faith in regards to creation. It says, we believe that all exists comes from the direct acts of God. We believe that all that exists comes from the direct acts of God. Aren't you glad that we attend a church, that we are part of a church family that says, this is what God's word says, and so we believe it. We stand on it, and we're not afraid to be able to make that known to those around us. So let's give God glory this morning as we continue to learn about his action of creation. Because here's the bottom line. God formed his creation for his glory. You got that? God formed his creation for his glory. So let's look at what this means in a little greater detail. Here's the first thing. We need to give God glory for day number 4. Hopefully by now you found Genesis chapter 1 in your Bibles. Follow along as I read verses 14 through 19. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. Now remember, the expanse we learned was what? The sky. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. Now the phrase, let there be lights, indicates that this is a new creative act of Elohim, a new creative act of the Creator God. And when God says it, that settles it. Right? Didn't we just sing about that? I think we did. And so God alone is the authority over his creation. And it's fascinating how we can read through the word of God and we can see how he chooses to show his authority over the sun on various occasions. Let me bring some of these back to your remembrance. In Joshua chapter 10, verses 12 through 14, God made the sun stand still for an entire day, so the Israelites had more time to win a battle. How could God do that? Because he has authority over his creation. Why does he have authority over his creation? Because he created it. Man doesn't have authority over it. God does. In 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, God turned back the shadow of the sun on a sundial as a sign to show Hezekiah he would be healed and live an additional 15 years. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 44, the sun went dark for 3 hours while Jesus took our sins upon himself on the cross. According to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12, during the great tribulation, the sun will be as black as sackcloth and the full moon will become like the blood. Wow. Does that tell us that God has authority over his creation? Yeah. I mean, can you make the sun stand still? Can you turn back the shadow of the sun? No, you can't. Okay? All right? And so, can you make the sun as black as sackcloth and the moon has like blood? I don't think you can. I know I can't. Only God can do that. And so there are four responsibilities for the sun, moon, and stars. Let's talk about those real quick. First responsibility is separation, to separate the day from the night. Isn't that what it says? He separated the day from the night. So he gave us hours. He gave us minutes. He gave us the cycles of the sun and the moon. He gave that to us as part of his creation. The second responsibility is signs. Now, this word sign is an awe-inspiring event, a mark or a miracle. So this tells us that every time we look upon the heavens, we see a dazzling display of God's glory. When we look into the heavens and we see the blue sky, when we see the sunshine, when we see the clouds, we can see God's glory. We can see that display. When we see the heavenly luminaries known as stars and planets, we cannot help but give God glory. Also, for seasons, the orbit of the earth around the sun determines the length of our year, providing seasons of sowing and seasons of harvest. You understand that this didn't happen by chance, right? This just didn't occur sometime in the process of evolution. God created it specifically for growing and for harvesting. And so, so that what? As we learned last week, so that human life can be what? Sustained here on earth. God in his glory has ordained the sun and moon to provide measures of time which mark off days and years. By the way, did any of you see the moon last night? It was there. Did you see the sun this morning? It's there, right? Was it there yesterday? Yes. The day before? Yes. Guess what? It'll be there tomorrow, just like today, because God ordained it to be that way. He's ordained the sun and moon to provide measures of time, which mark off days and years. Now, I know that sometimes the years kind of drag on, or the older you get, the faster they go, right? Okay? It's not because God slowed it down. It's not because God sped it up. It's still the same as he ordained when he created the sun and the moon to be able to do this. So these cycles are a daily reminder of God's provision and presence, and that his mercies are new every morning. And the cycles of the moon also helped Israel remember their appointed feasts and festivals, as we see in Psalm 81, verse 3. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, on our feast days. And then the fourth responsibility is that of shining. Verse 15 says, these luminaries give light upon the earth. Now, it's interesting how these greater and lesser lights get most of the attention here in verses 4 through 19. Because in our galaxy alone, there are over 200 billion stars. 200 billion stars. How many of you can count that high? That's like to me, right? Anything above 100 is like to me, okay? But God notices and names each one of these 200 billion stars just in our galaxy. That's not including the other galaxies that are all throughout the universe. Listen to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Not one is missed by his attention. Now, imagine, right? God, who created the billions of stars in our galaxy and the billions of stars in other galaxies throughout the whole universe, and he knows every single one of them, and he's named them. Oh, scientists are still trying to name some of them as they discover some of them through these high-powered telescopes that they're able to develop. God didn't need their help. God didn't need those telescopes. God knows them by name. Why? Because he created them. Are you ready for this? Yet God is not so preoccupied with the naming of the stars and trying to remember each one of their names in all of those galaxies that he doesn't know you, that he doesn't know me. He's not so impersonal. He's not so busy that he doesn't know you and that he doesn't know me. And why does he know you and why does he know me? Guess what? Because you're part of his creation. And as we're going to see, hopefully next week, well, no, not next week, 2 weeks, we're going to see that we as human beings are the pinnacle of God's creation. We're not like the rest of his creation. So you might want to put it on your calendar to be here that day. You need to be here every Sunday, but you might want to put it on your calendar to be here. So when I think about God creating the sun, the moon, and the stars that I can be mindful of, I'm reminded of that little poem we used to say in our younger days. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Up above the world so high, shining like a diamond in the sky. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Guess what? We don't have to wonder any longer, because God has told us in his word what they are. They're the stars that he placed in the sky. They're the stars that he created. They're the stars that he knows the names of. They're the stars that he sustains up in the sky, so that in the blackness of the dark of the night, we can see those stars shining, so that we what? Can be so much in awe of God's creation that we give him the glory for it. Now I want to say something here, and I hope that you'll understand the meaning of this. As amazing as these stars are, these created lights, the sun, the moon, and the stars, do not rule our lives. Only God does. Let me say that again. As amazing as they are, these created lights do not rule our lives. Only God does. Do I have to take it a little farther, or do you know what it is the pastor's trying to tell you? If you make it a practice to be able to check your horoscope, stop. The stars are not in control of your lives. The stars, the planets, they don't have to line up in order for things to happen in your life. God's purpose is what lines up in your life. The stars are not in control. The planets are not in control of our lives. God is. Y'all understand that? So let's give God glory. Let's give God glory for day number 4. Let's give God glory for day number 5. God formed the seas and the skies on the second day, and now he fills the seas and skies with fish and fowl. We're going to pick it up in verse 20. Read down through verse 23. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens. So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. Now this command for the waters to swarm with living creatures refers to swift movement back and forth to thrive and multiply. Does that really describe the sea creatures that are in the oceans, that are in the seas, that are in the rivers? Does that really do that? On our cruises, and of course the only ship that we've ever been on our cruises is Holland America. But when you go up to deck number 10, if you go up to deck number 9, you probably won't get to deck number 10, because deck number 9 is where the buffets are. But if you go one more deck above, it's called the observation deck. And up there you can stand in front of these windows and you can look out across the vastness of the ocean and hopefully give God glory for his creation. But they have these little monitors that have cameras on the bottom part of the ship that send up the display of what's going on underneath the ship. And you can look at these monitors and you can see schools and schools and schools of fish. You can see whales. You can see sharks. You can see all kinds of ocean creatures swimming around and underneath the ship. You can't see them from the surface because they're down below. But if you're watching the monitors, you can see them. It is fascinating. I go up there and I can spend forever just standing there looking at that. And I geek out every time because it's just so cool, right? But what are they doing? They're swimming. They're moving swiftly back and forth to thrive and multiply. On our last cruise to Alaska, we were sitting in this pool area. And there were windows. And all of a sudden, all of these people are rushing to the windows. And I'm wondering, what in the world's going on? And they're pointing. So I get up and I start looking. And they could see clouds of water streaming up from the surface of the water. Well, what does that tell us? There were whales. And we were able to see them blowing the water up through the surface of the water. We couldn't see the whales, but we could know that they were there. I've seen pods of orcas. I've seen dolphins. I've seen sea creatures as I've been on these cruises. And what are they doing? They're moving swiftly back and forth. And you know why they're still there today? It's because they thrive and because they multiply. Now what God told them to do? Be fruitful and what? Multiply. So this swarm with living creatures is the idea of an untold number of moving creatures who are swimming and swarming. Not only that, but God also created birds or the flying ones. That's the word for bird in the Hebrew, the flying ones. To fly above the earth across the expanse. There's that word again. Expanse meaning what? Sky of the heavens. Where do the birds fly? In the sky. Why do they fly in the sky? Because that's what God told them to do. That's what God created them to be able to do. By the way, these creatures, both in the sea and in the sky, these creatures were created fully formed. Fully formed. Fully developed. You got that? That's not what some scientists want us to be able to believe. That's what some professors in our universities want us to believe. But God said that they were birds. God said they were creatures, not yet to be matured, not yet to be developed, but that they were created, what? Fully developed. So class, let me ask you a question. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Good job! Way to go, okay? All right? The chicken came first, okay? God created these living creatures so fully formed and fully developed. In fact, get this. Did you know that dolphins are, and by the way, dolphins are what? These swarming sea creatures? Did you know that dolphins are so fully developed that within only weeks in captivity, they can train people to stand at the edge of the pool and throw them fish? I knew you'd enjoy that. Even though God created creatures to be independent and to move according to their instincts, the Creator still controls them to do His bidding. Do you understand that? Like when God provided the great fish to swallow Jonah? That's not a myth. That's just not some nice story. It's recorded in God's Word. So it's what? God's truth. How He commanded frogs, lice, flies, and locusts to be plagues in Egypt. How He commanded even ravens to feed Elijah. God created all this beauty, diversity, color, and movement for His pleasure and His glory. God created sharks and sparrows, eagles and eels, sea bass and seahorses, cod and canaries, piranhas and parrots, rainbow trout and robins, swordfish and squid, walruses and winged bats. You get the idea, right? God created the heavens and the earth as an arena to display His glory and populated it with variety for the purpose of His glory. So the next time you go to the zoo, every animal that you see in the zoo, say, God, thank you. God, I see your glory. Anytime you go out on the water and you're looking at fish or you're looking at these sea creatures, give glory to God because He put them there. He created them. Psalm 104, verses 24 through 25 says, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom have you made them all. So class, does all mean all? Uh-huh. So if God made them all, then there's no room for what? An evolutionary process. You've made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea, great and wide, which teems with creatures, innumerable living things, both small and great. And verse 22 here in Genesis chapter 1 tells us that God blessed what He created. And this word blessing is used 88 times in various forms in Genesis, more than any other book in the Old Testament. And it's interesting that the first blessing is not for humans, but for blue whales and blue jays. Now the word blessed means to enrich and to endow. And this particular blessing is linked to the responsibility that God gave to these creatures to multiply and reproduce. Because God, the Creator, wants His creation to be fruitful, to flourish, and to fill all that He has formed. We need to give God glory for day six. God formed the dry land on the third day, and when the conditions were ready for life on the land, God filled the land with animals and mankind on the sixth day. Notice that God didn't create animals and sea creatures and then human beings and then said, how are they going to feed? What are they going to eat? How are they going to sustain themselves? How are they going to thrive? Oh, well, I wonder what I'm going to do. No, remember, He created vegetation. He created plants. And He created trees, and he said those plants and those trees were good for what? Food. God put the food and the water in place to be able to sustain his created animals and sea creatures and later on human beings to what? To thrive, to be fruitful, and to be able to multiply. He didn't do it out of order. He didn't do it in a way that wouldn't make sense. He did it according to his order. God is not a God of chaos. God is a God of order. And man, we see that in how his creation was laid out. God filled the land with animals and mankind on the sixth day. And you can sense creation building toward a climax, which is going to culminate in the creation of humans, the pinnacle of God's creation, because human beings were made in the image of God. Look at verses 24 through 25. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds and the livestock according to their kinds and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was what? Good. Now the phrase according to its kind or according to their kinds is used 10 times here in Genesis chapter 1 to indicate that there are separate species and genders which are different and distinct. God established the categories of creation. That is why a squirrel always gives birth to a squirrel and not a squid. I need to say that again. There are three categories specifically mentioned here. The first one is livestock. What is that? Well, this is a general term referring to domesticated, what we would consider to be domesticated animals like cows, horses, goats, sheep, dogs, and cats. Sheep, not sheep. Okay? Everything that creeps on the ground. This refers to small animals, reptiles, rodents, snakes. The next time you are creeped out by a creepy creature, remember God created it for his glory, maybe not for your good. I know that when I see snakes, I go the other way. And I've had people say, it's just a garter snake. I don't care. I don't care. It's creepy, and I'm going in the other way. Okay? God created it for his glory. Maybe not for my good. Beasts of the earth. These are wild animals like elephants, hippos, lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my. And this includes, yes, dinosaurs. God formed his creation for his glory. So what is it that I'm hoping you learned from this morning? Two things. Give glory to God for his creation. Whenever you look up into the sky or when you see a plant, a fish, a bird, an animal, or even a creepy, creeping thing, even spiders, train yourself to say, God made that. Say it to yourself or proclaim it out loud for others to hear. Here's the second thing. Since God cares for his creation, trust him to care for you. He's not so busy. He's not so involved in sustaining his creation that he doesn't take care of you and he doesn't take care of me. Isn't that good? Isn't that great? We've learned so much. Father, we've learned so much this morning from your word. Thank you for your creation. And Father, sometimes we think that you created all of this in your universe for us. But Lord, all of this was created for your glory. So, Father, as we're able to observe your creation, as we're able to enjoy your creation, Father, help us to not be so self-centered that we think that it's about us. But, Father, help us to be so humbled, to be so in awe that we give you the glory for your creation. And, Father, may, as we observe your creation, as we enjoy your creation, Father, may it bring us to the place of understanding that you care for us, and we can trust that. You said it over and over and over in your word. And Father, you said it, and it is so. You said it, and that settles it for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song?
Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mighty works, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore.
Let's go back to the top.
Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. As your people declare your mighty works, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forevermore, who reigns forevermore.
Church family dinner in just a few minutes.